James chapter 1, before we begin, as always, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Ask Him to bless this time. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the Bible. We thank You that we, as Your children, as Christians, we desire to know Your Word. We desire to read it. We desire to understand it. We desire to live by it. And God, I pray for many of us that we would also desire to share it with others. But Lord, we want to share effectively. We want to rightly divide the word of truth. For we know it is Your word that equips us. It is Your word that protects us. And it's Your word that guides us. So as we open the scriptures, speak to us by Your word. Let my words disintegrate and let Your words remain. But we pray, transform the body of Christ to be a strong and mighty force in this dark world. Bless us now, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We all have things in our lives that cause us to struggle. Things that seem to get us in trouble every time. And you know what I'm talking about. There's that struggle, that temptation, that sin that is there in your face and you're dealing with it, trying to push through. Things that want to lead us astray. Things that cause us the most sorrow before the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you identify with those prayers? God, here I am again in that same place, dealing with this same issue. Temptations, trials. That's what we're talking about. That's what James is encouraging the church, to deal with those trials, to deal with those temptations. I mean, we talked about it. Consider it pure joy when you face various trials. Now, none of us pray for trials. None of us ask for trials, but we know that they're there. We can't avoid them. The Apostle Paul called his trials what? A thorn in his flesh. And if you know the scriptures well enough, you know that Paul the Apostle begged the Lord three times that he would remove that thorn from his flesh. But what does God say? No, 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 no. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. But Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 12:7. It should be overhead. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Listen, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. See, the temptations are there. The sin is always knocking at our door for believers because the enemy wants to take us out. But we must realize that the enemy wants to destroy us. But we also see that God, by the Apostle Paul, says God uses Satan and his tricks to make sure we stay humble, to make sure we stay dependent upon God. And I know I'm weird, but sometimes in my life I'm like, God, thank You for these things that are happening in my life because they keep me close to You. I don't know about you, but when things are going well, I have a tendency to just rest on the goodness of God. I don't talk to Him as much. I just, things are going well, so there's no need to bother Him. He's got other things to do. But no, God says, no, I want to hear from you. So I'm going to put a little trial in your way to slow you down, to get your attention back on Me. And that's what Paul says, a thorn in my flesh. And I don't know about you, but we all have thorns in our flesh. Please, I pray. And some of us may have removed a few thorns, but we're not thornless. That's an interesting word. We're not thornless. There's always going to be that thing that's there that's nagging at us. You know when that goes away? When we're in the presence of God. So we realize that God's grace is sufficient for these things. I want to read a story to you. His name is Alexander. He was trying to save all the pennies he could in order to buy a baseball bat. But Alexander had a hard struggle. One night when Alexander was saying his prayers, his mother heard him say very fervently, "Oh Lord, please help me save my money for a baseball bat. And God, don't let the ice cream man come down this street." I identify with Alexander in a big way. But how many of us have prayed a prayer similar to that of Alexander's? God, please don't allow that commercial to come on the TV again. Please, God, don't allow that. Whatever it is, come across our path. God, take this from me. Oh, we've prayed those prayers. Remove it, God. Remove the thorn. Remove the temptation. Remove the struggle. But God says, listen, my grace is sufficient for you, for when that ice cream truck comes down the street and we hear the dinging of the bell, we resist, for the most part. We resist. I see three things in this section of James that regarding two temptations. Three things, and I think three things that will help us triumph through temptations. Three things. Read with me if you will. We're picking up in verse 12 of James chapter 1. And it says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has prepared to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruits of his creatures." We're going to look at the first four verses of this section and three things that jump out of it in my eyes as we talk about these things of temptation. And we want to triumph through our temptations. If all of us are going to be honest right now, we could think of the very one thing that tempts us the most. You've heard me say it if you've been with me a very long. Chocolate cake is a great temptation of mine. Oreo cookies are a great temptation of mine. Do not get me any bags of Oreos. Please. Unless you want to be blessed. I mean, that's your choice. It's your choice, your choice. But my wife will probably get on your case if you do. See, there's these temptations, there's these things, and we want to triumph through these temptations. And I'm going to kind of go out of order from biblical standpoint, but I want to look at verse 13 first. And this is where we get our first point. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God." First and foremost, to triumph through our temptations, number one, we need to realize temptations are not from God. Temptations are not from God. Now, earlier in verse 2, when James said, "Count it all joy when you face various trials." Trials are of the Lord to test your faith. Temptations are of the flesh and of the enemy and lead to sin. But we cannot say, "Why is God allowing this temptation in my life? Why is God bringing this temptation in my life?" They are not from God. For this verse tells us also, God cannot be tempted by evil. I thought about that. God cannot be tempted by evil. And in my thinking, you know, for us, evil can in some senses scare us. Evil can in some senses, we don't want to even be a part of evil or see evil or hear about evil. You know, it's just sometimes you hear things on the news and it just makes you sick to your stomach. And sometimes even the evil can be something that is feared. But I believe that when we see this verse that says God cannot be tempted by evil, when evil is in the world, God looks at it and goes, "It doesn't bother me. I'm not tempted by evil. I'm not afraid of evil." So what better thing for us as born-again believers to stay close to God, stay close to the one who can overcome evil, who looks at evil and goes, "It's nothing for me. I'm so much greater." And I had this picture. It's almost like a super heavyweight boxer going into the ring with a super lightweight boxer. The heavyweight boxer's going, "Are you kidding me? This little punk? That doesn't even scare me. He could be the best in his division, but it's not going to scare the heavyweight." Same thing with God. God is not afraid of evil. God does not be moved by evil. And I believe as Spirit-filled Christians, in some senses, we shouldn't be overcome by evil. Why? Because we have one that's greater than any evil in this world. We have one that stands with us, stands behind us, that in the face of danger, in the face of evil, evil will flee. Evil will flee. At the name of Jesus, evil will flee. That's what we need to understand, my friends. God looks at evil in a sense and laughs and says, "You're nothing for me. I can overcome it." Now, it's been from the beginning. If you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, the fall of man. From the beginning, man has blamed God for things. Right? Adam himself, after he had fallen, God comes to him and says, "Where are you, Adam? What have you done? Have you done this very thing that I said not to do?" And what does Adam say? "It's that woman you gave me. That darn woman you gave me." Who did he blame? Got an amen for that. Who did he blame? He blamed God. "Had you not given me that woman, I would have been fine." No. No. He wouldn't have. And then, if, you know, before the ladies get all crazy, it's like, Eve, what does she blame? She blamed the enemy, you know? So who is it we blame? We either blame God or we blame the devil. I love my secretary. She reminds me all the time, we blame the devil for way too much stuff. We blame the devil for things that are our own fault. And this is what we need to realize. It's so easy to blame others. It's so easy to say, blame God. God, why did you allow this? God's going, "I had nothing to do with it. You opened the opportunity there. You opened this door and you allowed that in, and now you're blaming me?" Who do you blame when you found yourself fallen in temptation? Who is it you blame? It's never your fault, is it? Right? You know, is it your job's fault that you don't have enough money? Or is it because you go out to dinner every single night? Right? We tend to do these things. Is it the internet's fault that pornography exists? Or is it our weakness in our flesh that brings us to those sites, those things? Whatever the temptation is in your life, don't blame God. Don't blame God. Now, let me say this also. Not only is it the temptation of evil, but it's also the temptation of taking God's glory. I mean, I feel like I see this more and more, that there are people and organizations and even ministries that are taking all the glory from God. That is a great temptation that I believe the enemy uses to trip up the body of Christ. I'll just make you feel like you're succeeding very well, and you can take all the credit. Leave God out. No, we need to fight these temptations, whether they're good, whether they're evil, because ultimately they are. God cannot be led by evil. Jump down to verse 17 really quick and highlight this in your Bible. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. What is that verse saying? Good things, perfect things come from God. And God can't change that. Oh, what God puts into your life or brings into your life might be a stretch for you, but they're good and they're perfect for you. You see the difference? It's not always, "Oh, this is making my life comfortable. This is what my life needs." And so God brings it into your life. This is what God is. Every good gift and every perfect gift. And that, my friends, does not change. When something good happens in your life, give God glory. Give God glory, because it's from Him. Again, James says in 13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.'" And to me, I see this as James saying, let's get one thing perfectly clear. Let's get one thing perfectly clear. The troubles that you're having in your life are not from God. And I think this is so important and so critical for our lives and for our hearts, that God, you may be allowing it, but He's not the one that's bringing it. In fact, if you keep your place in James and go with us now over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look with me in verse 11. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, is basically explaining to them all these things that happened in the Old Testament to the believers there were for our benefit. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Here it is. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. What Paul is saying here is, listen, don't blame God. God is actually the source of the one that's going to help you get out of the temptation. Don't forget, God is always with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So when he sees you in this season or place of temptation, he's like, okay, I'm going to make a way out for you. Why? Because God sees everything. He knows the best way. He knows the best route. Isn't it funny how every time you are tempted to sin, maybe your phone rings or something, or someone knocks at your door, or there's some type of interruption. I'm telling you, if you watch it, you will see God always makes a way out. There is always a way out if we will take the time to stop and say, God, I need your help. I'm feeling this pressure. I'm feeling this temptation is building up in me. And to stop and take a breath. Because the enemy wants you to do it fast. He wants you to move on the emotion right then. And for us as Christians, we need to go slow and to realize God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. So he's going to give you the ability to overcome it. We can never say, it was out of my control. No, God has given you that ability. Again, we have the Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead. That power is in us to overcome. So we can overcome these things. That word to bear it means to endure it. To get through it. You know, if we could just take time to stop, certainly to pray, certainly to think of Scripture, or just certainly to take a minute to let the emotion and let the feeling pass, I believe we will find God strengthen us and find victory over those things. And it was in the model prayer of Jesus Christ when he says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from what? The evil one. So we're beginning to realize where the source of temptations come, not from God, and that's first and foremost. So if you have that down, make sure you remember that. God didn't bring this to me. God is not doing this to me. God only tests by trials. He does not tempt you to sin, nor will he ever tempt you to sin. Back to James, our second point, we see in verse 15. Excuse me, verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. The second thing I see, not only temptations are not from God, temptations are born in the flesh. Temptations are born in the flesh. We see it in verse 15. Then, when desire has conceived and gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Sin, my friends, kills something. It kills something. Sin, though it can be forgiven, there are always consequences to your sin. Always. Therefore, we cannot realize that God can erase the consequences. No, he can erase the sin, and he can erase the penalty from sin through Jesus Christ, but the consequences are still there. And some of us, many of us, are living the consequences of our sin, though we walk in the forgiveness and the grace of God, but there's still the consequences, that constant reminder for us. God is good. He can carry us through. But these temptations are born in our flesh. But each one is tempted. Notice that. Nobody in this room can say, well, I'm not tempted. I've known some guys that have said they're not tempted by the opposite sex. There's guys who live in this world that are not tempted by that, and I applaud that. They've worked through that. They have the gift of that. But they're tempted by something. Because it says, each one is tempted. We're all tempted. Power, money, position, career, name it. We're tempted by it. We're tempted by it. This is what we got to realize. It can become a desire of our flesh when those temptations lead to a place where we're satisfying ourselves and not satisfying God. No one is immune to temptations in our lives. This is something that causes you to draw your attention away. Away from what? Notice it says that. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away. Where? Drawn away from what? Drawn away from God, right? drawn away from what we know to be right, what we know to be the path that leads to righteousness. We know that we're drawn away from that by the desires of the flesh. And this is where we go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, real quick. Right in the beginning, verse 1. Look what Jesus, we all know this, we all know the story. Jesus was tempted, right? But look at this. This is interesting. I was seeing this morning as I was reading through this. Verse 1, Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Think of that verse right there. The Spirit of God led Jesus Christ, the Son of God, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, some of us might say, see, the Spirit does lead us into temptation. No, I disagree. I believe only the Son of God could be led into evil because they know, the Spirit knows that Jesus can overcome it. And I believe that's there so that we can realize we can't overcome it, but he can, so let's stay close to him. So anyways, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, fast for 40 days and 40 nights, then come talk to me. Don't blame. Don't be going, hey, see, this is how it is. You gotta be in the place to be equipped. Praying and fasting. Afterward, he was hungry. Ever been hungry? Ever had a need in your life? Guess what? The enemy's going to step up. Now when the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, see, he knew who he was, command these stones to become bread, what? To meet the need that he had, because he was hungry. And Jesus, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What is Jesus teaching us here? It's the word of God that helps us through our temptations. 40 days fasting. He's hungry. His physical body, the man that was Jesus, was hungry. Here's the enemy going to give him the world. He says, turn this bread, the stone into bread. Satisfy your need. No. Man shall not live by bread alone. The word of God, why it was in him. Guys, I cannot tell you and I cannot express this enough. If you're being beat up by temptation, if you feel like sin is knocking on your door every single day, then you need to step up. The basics of Christianity, through prayer, through speaking with other Christians, through reading of the Word, through asking God to give you the strength of the Holy Spirit, for fasting and praying, to do these things to equip you to get through these temptations. They're always going to be there. They're never going to go away. But guess what? We can have victory through them. You can have victory through these things. You've had it, right? You've overcome sin at some point. You've resisted. And what, isn't that a great feeling? Isn't that a great feeling when you go, wow, that was close. I almost sinned. Thank you, Lord. Instead of, oh, I say, come to it again, Lord. I feel so bad that I did this. Right? That's a total different thing. But if we could just continue to equip ourselves, you cannot start fasting when the temptation is knocking on your door. So, temptation is knocking. Let me start to fast. I'll stop chewing my gum. I mean, well, come on. You have to do these things. They have to be equipping you. Listen, we need the Word of God in us. In us. When temptation comes, try this. If you struggle in this area, which we all do, try to just stop for a minute and slowly say the name of Jesus. Somebody taught me this years ago, and to this day, I still use it. When that's there, I just, Jesus, 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 typically by the third time, the temptation has passed. Why? Because our focus got off of that temptation, and hopefully now it's gotten onto the Lord. And that's what God is saying here. It's like, just focus on what God wants. That's what Jesus' focus was. Yes, he was hungry. Yes, I'm sure if he wanted, he could make bread. If he didn't have the enemy didn't have to tell him to do that. I can do anything I want. I'm God's son. But you know what? I want to please my Father more than I want to please my flesh. That's what we're seeing here. That's what James is saying here. Again, go back to James. That's what he's saying here. We see this in verse 15. And here you see the progression. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, which means you continually in sin, brings forth death. This verse speaks of someone who isn't saved, See, for I would hope for the Spirit-filled Christian that we don't, you know, have a desire that conceived and gives birth to sin, and then when we sin, we keep sinning, we're eventually going to be separated from God. Not for us. We continually take our sin to the Lord and be cleansed from it and walk free in it. But there's the danger, my friends. So we got the temptations are not from God. We know the temptations are born in the flesh. Lastly and finally and most importantly, that's why I left it for the last, go back to verse 12, James chapter 1. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Guys, blessed is the man who endures. Like I just said, whenever you overcome sin, man, you're blessed by it. You have a sense of peace in your heart. You're grateful that God has given you the strength to overcome that temptation. You and I need to endure the temptations of life, the temptation to sin, the temptation to embrace any of God's glory. If you're a gifted person, if God has gifted you in an amazing way and you use that gift and it's blossoming and being used for the glory of God, make sure he gets the glory. Don't take the glory. Somebody called me this week. He used to be at our church. He'd been at our church for 6 or 7 years, and then he moved out of state. I hadn't heard from him in a while. And he called me, and he said, Pastor Rob, I just wanted to call and let you know that I thank God for allowing me to come to Calvary Chapel for those 6 or 7 years. I thank you, Pastor Rob. I thank Pastor RJ. I thank Larry. I thank Tim. I thank Jay. Please let the guys know I'm so thankful for the investment that you put into my life. Because now when I'm back in my hometown, people are looking at me going, you've changed. You're a mightier man of God. And he just called to say, I wanted to thank you. And what I loved about what he said, because he's thanking me, he goes, and I know you, Pastor Rob. I know you don't think you did anything because it was all God. And I said, absolutely, it was all God. It was all God. Why? I didn't do anything. We didn't do anything. We're just doing what God tells us to do, and God gets the glory. Praise God. He embraced the truth. He's living the truth, and he's seeing the fruit of it. That's what we're seeing here. We need to make sure that the temptation to take God's glory is not there. The temptation to use your gifts not for selfish gain, but for God's gain. Temptation to abuse the grace that God has given you. I think that's a big one. Don't abuse the grace of God. Is it always there for you when you sin? Yeah, it is. But how much better to me to enter into heaven knowing that there were some temptations that did not get you? Because we see in this verse, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has prepared for those who love him. Wait a minute, we have to be approved? We have to do a certain amount of things? No. No. Let me see if I have that word here. The word approved means accepted. Accepted. And the greatest thing about Christianity is that we're accepted not because of ourselves, but because of Jesus, right? Because of what the Lord has done. And this verse is saying, blessed is the man who endures temptation, who does his best to fight the good fight of faith and keep themselves pure, to fight those struggles. For when he has been approved, when he's made it through, continually given, you know, casting his cares upon Christ, he will receive the crown of life. What is this? What is a crown of life? Very simply, I believe, and there's a lot of interpretations on this verse, but I simply believe it is everlasting life. You walk your life, you're blessed if you endure temptations, you're approved because of what Jesus did for you, and you enter into everlasting life with the Lord. I believe that's what it's saying here. I believe it's our job to stand up, to endure these temptations so that we can enter into heaven knowing we did our best. To me, that's the better way, isn't it? To enter in because of what God has given us, the strength we have. Enduring temptation, getting to the end, means we make it through. And this does not qualify you for entrance into heaven. But this is, to me, the blessed position that we can have as we enter into heaven. Right? It doesn't qualify us to get into heaven. Well, you didn't overcome a couple of those sins. No. It has nothing to do with it. Our life is right in Jesus Christ. Amen? And in him alone. A couple of verses I want to put overhead. Hebrews 12:3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. See, we can get beat up, weighed down by the stresses and struggles in life. But the writer of Hebrews says, consider what Jesus, he endured in his life, even though the people were being hostile towards him. Are you coming under some persecution? Are people being hostile to you? Think about Jesus. Think about what the Lord has gone through so that you don't become discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged in this life. And then look at this psalm, Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Whew. Good reminder. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Right? Every single day is another day of opportunities that God has given to us. Every day we can wake up and say, okay, Lord, I may have messed up yesterday, but we're going to work it out today. We're going to get through it today. Every day is a new day. A day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. We need to overcome these things, my friends, and to realize that we will one day enter into his presence and have eternal life because of what he's done. It's our job to do our best to get through these things. You can write this down. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and it's Paul speaking about running the race. You know this story. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. There's that imperishable crown, the crown of righteousness, crown of life. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become disqualified. There is a real responsibility for the church to live their lives in such a way that if we want to help others, we got to kind of have our stuff together. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, if I was a drinking, smoking, I mean, how am I going to minister to you? If you know, I'm going to talk to you, you need to stop drinking, but I'm going to drink myself. It's good for you. I can do it, but you got to stop. It's not right. That's just amazing to me. We got to have our lives in a way where we're working through it. We're fighting hard because we don't want to be disqualified. We live this life in Christ for an imperishable crown, a crown that grants us life forever. We must put forth our best efforts to live disciplined lives. Disciplined lives. And what's the discipline? Make sure you know the Word of God. Make sure you know what's in the Scriptures. Make sure you understand how God wants you to live your life, husband and wife and children and employees and bosses. Know what God's heart is for these things. Know what God's heart is for the finances that he blesses you with. What is his heart behind that? Know what that is so that you can live accordingly. Because I believe when we know these things and begin to live in these ways, I'm telling you, life is so much less burdensome. The weight of life just comes off. I can remember before I became a Christian, I can remember my goal was to make as much money as I could. I was striving to just live easy street, you know, retire early, let's do it. I became a Christian, it's like I could care less about that any longer. It's like I just want to live for the Lord. Don't miss it though. The end of verse 12, this is where we're close. He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has prepared, or promised, to those who love him. To those who love him. I believe, with all of my heart, that the key to living a life that's overcoming and triumphing through our trials is purely there, by the love that we have for Christ. By the love that we have for God. Guys, it's hard to sin against a loving God if you love him. It's hard to put your hand to something that you know that would displease the Lord if you love him. To truly say and go, God, I do love you. Not here. Don't love him in your head. Because the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Okay, I'm supposed to love God. No, love him because he's forgiven you. Love him because he's gracious to you. Love him because he's doing things in your life that you could never do on your own. Love him. Loving God is the key. How do you endure temptations? Just keep loving the Lord. If you truly love someone, you're going to do everything you can to please that person. Everything in your power, you're going to do to love that person. And if you truly love God, you're going to honor him in your life. You're going to honor him in the thought life, in the heart, in the things you put your hand to, the places that you go. You're going to make sure the things that you watch on TV, this is not pleasing to the Lord. Turn it off. The magazines, get rid of them. You don't need a magazine to tell you what you need in your life. You need the Bible to tell you what you need in your life. You need God to tell you what you need in your life. I'm not saying magazines are of the devil. Some of them are. But here's the truth. Stepping back from all of this, to truly realize that God has gifted us and equipped us to get through anything. There's nothing we can't get through without the help of God. And if we truly have a heart for that, we'll say, God, what do you have in store today? Let's do this thing together. Too many people in this room are trying to get through this thing called life by themselves. Yeah, they attach God here and there, but you're not fully sold out to the Lord. And you're wondering why you're struggling with your temptations. Because you need to set those things aside and you need to focus your attention on God. So this is what I want us to do. As I'm going to close in prayer, we're going to spend some time in communion. Maybe there's some temptations. Maybe there's some things you're struggling with today, even this morning. And I would say we take those things to the Lord. I say, God, here's this thing that I'm struggling with. You know, Lord, you know, last week that person really bothered me. And I got to do that this morning too. I think I'm going to confess that. There was somebody at a Starbucks that really got my craw this week. And I just was reminded about that. Because what? I want to represent God right. And maybe you do too. So as we hold those elements in our hands, I say we just say, God, help me with this temptation. Help me. But let's not forget that the Lord may respond, my grace is sufficient. We may want to ask God to get rid of it, to move it. Lord, move that mountain. But God might be saying, no, I'm going to give you grace to go up over the mountain and get victory in this life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We're so grateful that we can read the scriptures and immediately apply them to the things that are going on in our lives, the difficulties that we maybe are facing, whether it's a physical thing or a materialistic thing, a financial thing. Lord, there's something that's probably causing us to be drawn away from you. And I pray during this time of communion, Lord, that we would give those things over to you again, afresh. But I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would give us wisdom from above. Wisdom to discern. To not overlook. Maybe we're justifying some of the actions that we have in our lives. Some of the things that we're struggling with, we're justifying, well, that's because, Lord, I pray that you would help us not to justify, but to be filled with you so that we can be overcomers. As Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome. Bless us during this time of communion, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.